Good morning.
Good morning.
That's not a good way to start, is it? thank you for your welcome, and thank you for your understanding. I had to go home and, to Highworth and pick up my notes and various things. I must say, when we came in the first time, I could feel the warmth, the friendship. It was a great... Hello. I didn't see you sitting there. I used to be a pastor for 8 years up in East London. Well, it's just slightly outside of East London. And I've been a youth leader for Yonks, and I really like some reactions and to talk to people. I don't like preaching. My wife will probably tell you that at breakfast in the mornings, she probably say he does like preaching. But so if you've got any comments to make or questions to ask or anything else like that while I'm speaking, then just wave or something and or shout, because I can't see you. And we can do this together. Now, first and foremost, you almost left me speechless a month ago, when somebody wrote to me and said that you were sending money to support the purchase of our house, it's going to be our house, in Costa Rica. So, I mean, it was just absolutely brilliant. Let me share that with you. When I was out there in February or March, well, back further, Joy and I have lived in Costa Rica for about 25 years, and except for 2 months, the whole of that time we rented this house from a Russian landlady, and she wasn't a Christian or anything, but she was very sympathetic with the work we were doing. We had a low rent all that time and everything, and she was great. So when we came back to be based in England in 2015-16, our office, the Education Plus office, moved just down the road from where they were into the house. So when I go and stay there now, I just have our bedroom, and the rest of the place is chaos. It's full of equipment and people talking and stuff like that. So just recently, the landlady got to about 84 years old, I think, something like that, and she decided that she didn't want to carry on being a landlady. And there was some discussion, and she told Juan Carlos, who's the guy now who's the international director, is in charge of it all, that she was prepared to sell the house. So we found out how much for it. Not just the house, by the way. We've got a house at the front, and it's a plot, and there's a smaller house at the back, which is where we lived when we're doing language training. So there's two houses on a plot in a fairly middle-class area. How much was she selling it for? And it was $210,000, which is about £180,000 for two houses on a decent plot. And compared to the ones round about, that was cheap. So Juan Carlos, that was just like at the end of last year, Juan Carlos went to Canada, where there's a group of churches that support us from Canada. And within 2 months, they'd come up with an offer of $188,000 towards buying this house. And we were, I mean, you know, I feel very embarrassed when I'm looking for £5,000 to do a camp or something like that. This is just out of my realm, but not out of somebody's realm. So I came home in March, came back in March, and Juan Carlos wrote to me and said he'd got this $188,000 promised, and it looked like it might be God's will. And I thought, yeah, but it's going that way, isn't it? You know. And so he said, we need another $30,000, because she'd put the price up in the meantime, which is fair enough. The other houses would be going for $100,000 more. So it went up to $220,000, the price of the house. And we needed to find $25,000, basically, which, no, $20,000, £25,000. So I thought, well, okay, well, let's see if it is God's will. This is a really good test to see if it's God's will. So I wrote, and do you get, who gets the prayer pointers, our prayer pointers? So I wrote one of those back in March, I think it was, on a Wednesday, in order to send it out on the Thursday. On the same Wednesday, our church in Lechlade had their AGM, and I think there are 14 members, and most, they're all pensioners, I think, except two. And the church treasurer gave his report and said, you know, everything's going okay and we're keeping the buildings ticking over and stuff like that. And he said, but we've got a problem. He said, we've got a certain £1,000 in our account. And he said, I don't think the charities commissions are going to like that. They're going to tell us that we've got to do something with it because we're not a bank. So we need to give it away. Bling! And so I very embarrassed, I put my hand up and said, well, I'm not asking for any decisions now, but just to let you know that tomorrow I'm going to send this letter out. And this is the reason why. And they've met Juan Carlos as well. If he comes over again, by the way, I'll try and get him to come here. Might be next May, I think, he might come over. And they've met him. He's a really great guy and very authentic and very genuine. And so they had a little discussion in front of me. I said, maybe I should recuse myself and wait outside because I really shouldn't be part of this. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. And they promised £5,000. And I hadn't even written the letter yet. Well, I had written it, but I hadn't posted it. So I thought, maybe this is an indication that it's God's will. So when I sent that letter out on the Thursday, the church treasurer was sending £5,000 into the Education Plus bank account before the letter went out. And then the rest of it is just incredible. For over the next 3 weeks, I think we got the £25,000 from all sorts of people I don't know and didn't know they knew about Education Plus. And there was just a little bit short. With the gift aid and everything included, it came to about £23,000. And I was over the moon. But I was sort of saying to the Lord, it would be nice if we actually got, it would be a real confirmation if we actually got to the number. But I don't want to be cheeky, I don't want to be presumptuous. So anyway, about 10 days later, I think it was, we were in Cambridge visiting our daughter, and I got an email from a church in Lorne, and it said, oh, very straightforward, it wasn't flowery or anything, or even grassy if it's from Lorne, sorry. and it very straightforward, and it said, we had a church meeting and we are going to send you £6,000. And I was... So what that came to, instead of £25,000, it came to 28. Well, 29, actually, 29. And that verse in Luke, where Jesus says, asking it, shall be given to you, pressed down and running over. And I thought, so I put that in the next prayer pointers. Because so thank you. I mean, brilliant. I mean, I'm just speechless. If I write an autobiography, that will come into it. I won't mention your names, but it will come into it. That was just one of a massive sort of indication from God that it was the right thing to do. And thank you for being very understanding this morning as well. My notes and the pictures you're looking at here, my wife left them behind, so I had to drive back to Highworth and look for them. And then I couldn't find them in the house, and I found them under the front seat of the car. So, pray for grace. Oh, and joy. So grace and joy. No, and that'll go in my autobiography. I'll buy everything. Right, let's get down to business. Who knows what Education Plus is? The sprinkling. So in Spanish, Educación Plus is an organisation which we started 30 years ago this year. The Lord started through us in Costa Rica. Who knows anything about Costa Rica? Yeah, it's a little country. It's a little country. It's a bit, I mean. Yeah. it's the little thin bit between North and South America. It's in there. It's mostly known as a holiday destination. Surfers. Very good for wildlife. In some places that sort of wildlife as well. But for what's it in English? Naturaleza. The nature study. I can't think of the word in English. I've got more bird species in that one little tiny country, which is about a fifth the size of England, than they have in the whole of the North American continent. And they've got things like sloths and tigers, well, not tigers, but lynxes and that sort of thing. So it's a fabulous place to go for a holiday. And it worries me because I think, oh, everybody thinks the Holder's family's out there on holiday for 30 years. Well, I can only say that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. But not because it was a holiday. I enjoyed it because that's where God put us. And God blessed the ministry and it's grown. And we work with very, very poor families in shanty towns around the perimeter of the west and south of the capital. So the children that you're going to see here, these boys you're looking at here, we work with young people and through them get through to their families and everybody. We haven't started a church. We try and link them up with church, reasonable churches that exist. God's really blessed the ministry. So that's a background. Very quickly, my wife just made a sign at me. So the house that you've just bought is there. But that's obviously only the corner of it. These slides are to show you how we use the house. This is how we used it before we moved out of it, before the office came in. As a family, Joy and I lived there with our three girls. Our three girls came home when they were in their mid and upper teens, and this lot came instead. During the last 8 years that we were there, after our girls came home, we were there for 8 years, we had 4,772 visits to this house from the shantytowns. Different people. Lots of them came lots of times, but I used to keep a register, and it got too complicated, so I just used to take photographs of groups that came to visit the house. And I, for the book that I'm writing, the second book, I counted them up, and there were 4,772, I think, in 6 years, and it was fabulous. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So these boys have all cycled about 6 miles from the shack to where they live, and come to visit us. Now, do you want me to? Do I
try
use this?
Try it. See if it works. If not, we can do it here.
Which one? That one? Oh yes, that was right. Great stuff. And that wasn't unusual. This was happening every week and sometimes every day. Just crowds of kids would come to visit us, and we didn't keep them all sat outside. Mostly they came in, but you can see a bit more of the house behind. The railings are big. Every house there has got railings because otherwise they get broken into. And so that may look a bit prison-like, but it's normal. So let's have a look. Some of them arrive when it's pouring with rain. in a tropical storm, and they're lining up here to use a hairdryer. They've never seen a hairdryer before. You don't get hairdryers in the shantytown. So they all think it's very funny, and Joy's getting them to dry their clothes with it as well. They were absolutely soaking wet, and that sort of thing happens a lot. Oh, where are you going? Breakfast. So quite a few kids stayed over. Most of these are boys, by the way. That's cultural because the families don't like letting the girls out of their sight. But we do deal. They've gradually, the trust has built up. We deal with girls as well. But most of the, and I've got a very male sense of humour and play football and stuff like that, so they come because of that. So these boys arrive very early, so they're given breakfast. Some of them are given dinner. This is from the local Chinese restaurant, and they were very pleased we were there. And then there's tea. And Joy used to, I'm going to embarrass her, she was brilliant. used to get these flocks of kids coming in all the time, and she would come up with meals, and suddenly there's a couple of beds available if they have to stay overnight, and all sorts of things like that. So I've got to point it over there. That's an unusually big crowd at one time, and they're all over here watching the telly, because we used to turn it, that was what we called our family room, and we turned it into a football stadium when there was a big match on. Overnight, not overnight, some of them were overnight. Some of the World Cups, if they were in this area, were 7 hours behind there. So if they played in the morning here, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, they'd play over there. And so they'd come and stay overnight so they could watch the football at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, and you might notice quite a few have got their shirts off. That's because one of the attractions to coming to our house was the shower, not the toilet, the shower. Shower's over there. Where they live, some of them haven't got running water, but they certainly haven't got hot water. And when they shower, they would probably go to tap and get a can or something and tip the water over their head. So to come here and have a warm water and soap and the proper tiles and everything, he's just, I don't know if he's going in or coming out. It looks quite clean, he must have come out. So this is how the house was being used all the time. It still is to some extent, changed a bit. So, and food, there's always food. The local pizza parlour was well chuffed when we got the football games on. And there we go, 6 large pizzas and an extremely hungry boy making sure that he's nobody guarding them. And somebody else used to like the pizzas as well. That was our dog. he used to clean up all the boxes afterwards. And then they were, this is some years ago, I can't remember what it's called now, the PlayStation. So they bring their own now. They've got their own little things, but they all loved all that. And they're very happy. They loved coming to our house, but they're just generally happy anyway. And so there's a bunch of happy boys there, and happy girls as well. So, and we still know all of those. Yep. These two are still living in the shantytown. She's moved and got 3 kids, and she's moved and got 1, I think. What have we got next? Oh, yes, and they'd come from school. We weren't on the way home, but they would get a bus over to our house and spend a couple of hours with us and then carry on home. That's the boys from secondary school. And they came and showed us, he's a bit older, he's gone to an apprenticeship institute, and he's got his title. Guess who he shows first? I think before we saw that before his mum. And there's one with 3.
Wow.
And that's called something called the Samuel Institute, and that's really tough, so he's done very well there. And he brings them to show us, which is, quite touching, really. And he's showing us something else. There's a lot of that about. That's a marijuana leaf. And that's a sort of badge that we don't like to see. He, with our help, became a professional chef, still is. And their age, I think he probably smoked a bit of marijuana, but this is all show, bravado. But the trouble is, the drugs are a real problem in the shanty towns, a really big problem. And the bravado soon passes on to getting hooked, and marijuana is... Don't listen to anybody who says it's a gateway drug. It affects you whether you go on to something else or not. Marijuana in itself does, gives you brain damage, basically, if you smoke it enough. But it's a big fashion statement. Right. Here's 3 of our boys. This is the railings of the house. At the door, and they've just knocked on the door. We used to call these the 3 musketeers because they were always together. These 2 are brothers, and that's their next door neighbour. And we got on and get on ever so well with them. Unfortunately, he's done okay, but these 2 ended up in jail. So this one was for 7 years, he came out last year, and this one's still in for assaults and things like that. But you see, we still love them. In fact, he makes a special effort. I visited them in jail. Joy's visited a couple of girls in jail. It's not very nice. You have to queue up for about 4 hours in the blazing sun and get treated like a prisoner while you're inside and then come out again. But we love these kids. We love, I mean, how can you not love these with those big smiles? But so I thought it was quite appropriate to have the have them behind bars. They will laugh at that as well. When people come out, they often bring loads of football shirts. And so when they get to hear about it, we get lots of boys coming round for a football shirt, and there they are trying them on. And here's a different uniform. Guess what's happening to him?
Going for a job.
Sorry?
Going for a job.
No, worse than that.
He's,
no, he's getting married. This guy here was one of our first Jack the Lads, let's say, and we helped him a lot. And when he got engaged, then he was getting married that day, and he came and slept at our house, and sort of we helped him put his suit on. He'd never worn one before, or a tie or anything else like that. And then we went off and we were invited to the wedding. So unfortunately, it didn't work. I mean, it worked out for a few years, but not completely. This guy is one of our ex-boys. He's about 25 or 30 years old in the picture. And he became a drug addict, and he's going around selling. He went to a drug centre. He's going around selling things, necklaces and things, to make money for the drug centre where he is. This is one of our boys as well, ex-boys. He was working in McDonald's for a while after he left school. And all these are in the house. You can see the inside of the house there. And then, same boy, working for a bank. I don't know how it happened, but but he's done well for himself. He now works for the university where he was going part-time. And he's their, what's he called, manager? Projects manager. So he's going around the country starting up new sections of the university around the country. And you should see where he grew up with four sisters and three brothers in a shack about the size of this corner of the room here. And with one bed, and I mean, terrible place, but done really well for himself. Well, look, Best Buy. Would you buy anything off him? He was one of the dads, isn't he? He was one of the dads of a couple of couple of boys and girls, and he had trouble drinking, and so he got out. He had to get out of the shanty town at one point, and he moved nearer the coast. And we kept in touch with him. So I went to visit him a few times and helped him out when he moved and everything. He moved in another shack, but near the coast, and it was all quiet. And he knows the Lord. I couldn't believe it, because this, I don't know when that was. Oh, that's us, him visiting us. But when we first knew him, must have been 20 years ago at least. His son's a really lost soul. And then I looked at Facebook last week or the week before. He's just got married. He's just got married to his wife, the one he's been living with for about 40 years. And they got married. And I wrote on Facebook to his daughter, who put it on, and said, "Is that your mum and dad? What's happening there?" And she said, "They got married at last." And that they're grandparents already. So that's the Lord's really touched their hearts. This is Joy doing tutoring. This is another view of the main entrance to the house. And the girls, not only girls, but Joy helps them with secondary school homework and things like that. And this is the kitchen. Well, I have to say, very quickly for Joy's sake, that it doesn't usually look like that. this boy here, well, in fact, both of those boys actually, were doing a cookery course. And it was proper, a really serious one. It was one that was, certified by the government, so you could use it to go and get a job and everything. And this guy here is just doing this pizza. This is Johnny. I knew him when he was 12, and he came from Nicaragua as a refugee, and his mum died. So he and his younger brother, we almost sort of adopted them. So this is the kitchen, and this is one of his friends, a friend of Jesus, it says there. And he's doing his pizza to show the next day at an exhibition to finish the year's course. I've got a wonderful photograph of him, which I decided not to put in. He's standing there just like that with a baseball cap on, no shirt, and he's tossing the base of the pizza like this. He looks like some Italian chef or something. This is a girl who has been in prison. When she was really young, she was one of our Bible Club, first Bible Club members, and she spent some years in prison, and we sent her on the cookery course, and she's just done that up the road at the church that runs it, and brought it in to show us on her way home. And we're a Christian organisation. It's Bible clubs. We have Bible clubs. This is an extra. So I've got a name out in Costa Rica amongst the rest of the staff who grew up in the project and everything. They say, I like complicated people. And I seem to get on with complicated youngsters. I love working with them. So I won't go into the details. He's been in jail. He should be. He's a good guy. He's a great guy. He became a Christian. And he hasn't formally got married. He's got married legally, but he hasn't had a doing the church or anything before the Lord. But he's got a very stable family, which is brilliant. And this guy here got trouble. I had a conversation with him once about religion, and he tied me up in knots. He's so intelligent, this guy. But he went onto drugs and he's lost it a bit, but there's still hope. And there's the Bibles, and we used to sit around and they'd have their sandwiches. And then I would say to them, what do you want to talk about? Because I think if I prepare something that I want to talk about, when I was at Bible college, there was our tutor used to say, you should scratch where it itches. Do you understand that expression? In other words, they might be thinking about something and I'm talking about something else. So I'm not in touch with them. So I used to sit there and say, okay, lads, and some girls when they came, okay, what do you want to talk about? And they wanted, lots of times they wanted to talk about Revelation and the end of the world and things like that. A lot of them wanted to talk about sex, surprisingly enough at this age. And we had some very interesting conversations, all based on the Bible. So the Bible was there, we'd hand them round, and I think the next one shows joy. No, there's some more Bible still. And there's joy. Because joy is brilliant. I know I'm a pastor, but I used to say, well, what do you want to talk about? And we'd be chatting, and I'd say, well, it says somewhere, such and such, I've got quite a good memory, and suddenly joy would appear with the Bible in front of me, with the passage marks, pointing at it. So it was really great, because she used to back up what I was saying with the real Bible. I was doing it from memory. But it made a great conversation. You just sat there and had a conversation. And they've said since, that was about 10 years ago, I suppose. They've come back since and said that those Bible studies really changed their lives because they were so relevant, which is really great. That's the house again. This is all your house. That's the house. They all got Bibles. Santa Biblia, which I think is the Revised Standard Version in Spanish.
I think so.
Yeah, because the other ones is Buena Noticia, the good news. Okay, so that was up until there, the pictures are when we were living there for 20 years. That's how the house was used. And then when we came back here, the office moved in. And that was one of our girls' bedrooms. This lady is a Christian and she's teaching English. These two are doing homework. This is all in our office now. It's a bit crowded and everything. And it won't be so much when we bought the house. And we can use the one at the back as well. I'm not sure what she's teaching, but it's quite, I saw it written down what she was teaching somewhere. It's quite high powered. All these are sort of middle and late teenagers. And this guy's teaching them how to mend mobile phones. Because if people do that, then it's like a little, I don't know, people used to go around selling fruit and veg or, mend your car or something. That's quite a trade now because most of the mobile phones are very old. Not sure of their, as the police say, their provenance, all of them. Not sure where they come from, but some of them are definitely stolen. They have to be cleaned up. That's no reflection on those boys. It's just what happens out there. The trade, they don't steal them. Well, none of those do anyway. And this boy here, who's teaching computers, he's now an accountant. And I've written about him in my first book, he's got a whole chapter. And when he was doing secondary school, he slept on a couch in somebody else's shack. Because his mum and dad, when he was about 12, just left him. And so, particularly Juan Carlos, rather than me, took up his case. Juan Carlos, absolutely brilliant, Juan Carlos. He knows all the system and everything else like that. And we got him into a secondary school, into a program where you learn something else at the same time, practical. And he went and learnt accountancy, very basic. And then he got a job, because this course also finds jobs for you when you're leaving. And he got a job with a national dry cleaning company. Got a big dry cleaning company. He's still got the job now, about 10 years later. And he studied in the evenings, university course, and he's now much more than just a fully qualified accountant. He's a really brilliant guy. And he comes and helps our guys with their computer. I think that's the last one. Oh, no. The cooking's taken on. They're better looking cooks, anyway. So we have this lady, I think it was that lady, or one of those, what's the name of the cook over here who does television stuff?
Jamie Oliver.
She worked for his organisation. Is in different countries. They set up this organisation to help teach people how to cook. These particular ones weren't doing a course, but they were learning how to use basic materials more efficiently and economically. So I think that is that the last one? Yes, that's the last one. Can you switch it off? Sorry, thanks. So thank you very much. You can see some of the things that have been going on and will be going on in the house, which you've really helped to provide for us. So now, how long have I got? Sorry, 5 minutes?
5 minutes, yeah.
Okay, because as a pastor, when I go to churches and you listen to the guy at the front and he's trying to sell a project or promote something in a service, I think the service should have something of the scriptures in it. So there's just something here very quickly I wanted to share. And that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, what do you know about, let's quickly, what do you know about the parable of the Good Samaritan?
Well, there was a passerby who got attacked by two robbers.
A guy was mugged?
He was mugged and attacked.
That's right. A priest goes past.
A priest walked past.
Ignores him.
And another.
A Levite.
Another priest.
And a Samaritan comes along.
And he helped him.
And he helps him. That's brilliant. And money, yes. You're going into the second part. Brilliant. No, that's really brilliant. I've just read some notes down here. So the story was a response to a Jewish expert in the law that Jesus' response to him, and the Jewish guy said, the expert in the law, another religious leader, said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" There's a lot more to this parable. You've just hit the bones of it, really, you know. But there's a lot more little bits in it. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus put it back to him. And he said, "Well, what do you think? What does the law say?" You know, you're a teacher of the law. What does the law say? So the teacher of the law gets all flash and comes out with a pair of two Old Testament verses, which I always used to think were part of the Ten Commandments. Well, they are, but they're not. One comes from Deuteronomy. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." And the other one comes from Leviticus. "And love your neighbour as yourself." That they are there in the Ten Commandments, but the quote's there. And Jesus said, "You're right. Go and do this, and you will live." Okay? So what's the problem? I put down here that there was a problem there. What was the problem?
Who is my neighbour?
No, but that comes, that's a bit later. The problem is we can't do that. I put down here the man recited two well-known verses from the Old Testament. He was an expert in the law, after all, and liked to exhibit his expertise, as we do, especially in the church. I've met a lot of people who like to exhibit their expertise, even though it was academic rather than experiential. So it was all, it was academic. And Jesus said, yeah, we're right, go and do this and you'll live. And what's the problem? The problem was that it was great as an academic theory, but we can't do that. We cannot fulfill the law. So it's impossible, and especially the word he used was inherit. So he was talking from a Jewish point of view, how do I inherit eternal life? And you can't. Nobody inherits eternal life. Because nobody, Jesus said, well, you do if you follow those rules, but we can't, because we're part of fallen humanity. We sin, it's part of our character, can't get away from it. So there was a big problem. And the expert understood this, and he actually says he wanted to justify himself. So the next question was being Mr. Smarty Pants. It wasn't a real question, actually. He wanted to justify himself. And so he tried to narrow the field down. Love your neighbour as yourself. So he said, so, and who is my neighbour? Because as a Jewish leader or a religious leader, don't just think Jews, just think religious leaders. That was an important question. And Jesus came out up with this parable of the Good Samaritan. Okay, and it's absolutely jaw-dropping. Can you imagine somebody coming on the BBC and interviewing somebody in Jerusalem, a leader nowadays in Jerusalem, and the guy says, well, who's my neighbour? And you start a story, and the hero of the story is a Palestinian. Wouldn't work, would it? There's a bit of a sort of a discrepancy there. So why was it so jaw-dropping? Because the Samaritans and the Jews, religiously and nationally, couldn't get on at all. They were against each other. So the story, just the content of the story, being Samaritan, being the good guy, really blew apart this guy's question, who is my neighbour? Because he certainly didn't think the Samaritans were his neighbours, that he had to be good to. And it really blew it apart. But there's something else as well. That is, I've written down here that when the Samaritan chanced across the victim of the mugging, as you said, he didn't see it as an opportunity to preach to him about, well, you Samaritans, God's done this to you because, or anything like that. He didn't see it as an opportunity to preach to him. Well, he did preach to him, but he preached to him with actions. He was pragmatic, he was down to earth. He got his hands dirty. Both literally and doctrinally, because the teachers of the law don't go around touching other people's blood, especially if they're not they're the other tribe, so to speak. And as you say, he did up his wounds. He took him to an innkeeper and he paid for him to stay there a couple of nights. And he said, "Look after him until he's better, and I promise you that I'll pay the rest of the money." Open-ended, but that's what he did. I put Christian missionaries, but we as Christians, wherever we are, in Costa Rica or in Swindon or wherever we are, we should not just be motivated just by preaching or teaching or verbally challenging people with the gospel. I mean, I feel uncomfortable saying that, because as a Christian, you want other people to know the Lord. But there are, I don't know, any comments? Because I feel uncomfortable saying that. But the Good Samaritan, you see, he didn't bend over the guy and say, well, if you convert to Christianity, then I'll do up your wounds. He just got on and did it. And the he actually risked his reputation with his friends. It's like us might be, in our case, it might be like risking our reputation with the other church members. If I'm not saying we should do things that are bad, but just things maybe that are a bit out of the ordinary sometimes. The reason I put all this is because when you saw these pictures up here, there was one Bible study, and the rest of it was being a good Samaritan to a bunch of kids who've got nothing, and feeding them, and they would stay overnight. Man, I don't know about you, I remember when I was young, we used to go down to Devon on holiday from London, and we were spoiled for 10 days. My mum and dad would spoil us, and you know, we could buy ice creams, and we'd have, it was fun sleeping in a different bed and having a lot of fun and things. Well, when these kids slept at our house, and still do sometimes, it's like 2 weeks holiday for them. They have a real bed, because they don't at home very often, or they're sharing it with three or four other kids. They have running water in the house, they have electricity that's not purloined very dangerously off an overhead wire somewhere. They have hot water in the shower. They actually have a shower. And that's why you can't keep them out of the shower when they come to visit us. They used to, can I have a shower? Can I have a shower? And you just say, yeah, go on, and leave them in there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And then say, are you all right in there? Yeah. And seriously, it was just like being on holiday for them. So, George just made a sign at me. I just wanted to say very quickly that the things that we do that are ordinary things are just as important as being labelled a Christian. Obviously, as Christians, we'll do them differently. We'll have a different attitude and approach. But being with ordinary people in ordinary situations is being Christ-like. Now, when I was researching this little bit for my book, I was amazed. It says in the first three Gospels, there are several references to Jesus eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. Well, tax collectors were considered to be the biggest crooks around. They probably were, because they were rooking people. And sinners were sinners. We all know what sinners are. And Jesus was eating and drinking with them. And he must have been drinking wine, because the Pharisees actually called him a glutton and a drunkard in two verses, Matthew 11 and Luke 7. The Pharisees have got their own agenda. But they actually called Jesus a glutton because he was eating with these people, and a drunkard because he was drinking with these people. And they enjoyed his company. Do people enjoy our company? That's a good question. When I came in here today, I got a very warm welcome. It's like coming to somebody's house, and I got a very warm welcome. But you don't in every church, you know, go and sit down over there. Not there, because that's somebody's seat. I don't know. I've got to finish quickly. But we should remember that was part of Jesus' ministry. So I'm not going to suggest this, but if, for instance, a preacher was to stand here and say, why don't we all go to the pub on Friday? What would you think? I would think it's a bit strange. I would think, should we ask him back? But that's what sort of thing. I don't think Jesus ever got drunk for a minute. I think that was the Pharisees trying to get at him. But he was popular with the people around him, and he enjoyed being with the people around him. The ordinary people, that was an important part of his ministry. So that's what goes on in this house. We're with ordinary people, and we're being ordinary people in the house, but very definitely as witnesses to Christ. Just last thing to say, since I come back, I really miss being out there, and since I come back, I keep in touch with these youngsters, who aren't so young now. They're anywhere between about 18 and 40 now, some of them. And I keep in touch with them, and they say things like, we really miss you, you know. They call me Pappy. It's interesting, because most of the families haven't got a responsible father in the house. And me and Juan Carlos and the other male members of the staff have done more for their families in a lot of cases than their father anywhere near them. So And they say these things. And I remember one more than once, people have said to me, your place is reserved in heaven. We are talking about Latin Americans. They're very effusive and emotional. And they say, your place is reserved in heaven. And that embarrasses me. So I write back and say, yes, you're right. But not because I've done anything for you. And they say, well, yeah. And I, no. My place is reserved in heaven because Jesus died for me on the cross in my place and opened the way up for me to go to heaven. I said, that's why I'm doing the things. It's not the other way around. I'm not doing these things to earn my way to heaven. I'm doing these things because Jesus gave me the free gift of salvation. And they still write back and say, yeah, but you were good. You did it. And oh, you go, where'd you go from here? So I usually say, look, and I'll finish with this. I thoroughly enjoy working with you lot. I don't say working, being with you lot. I thoroughly enjoy sharing time with you. So I give thanks to God for the privilege of being able to do that. If you give thanks to God for anything good you got out of it, then God's getting thanks twice. I said, and that's really good. So just give thanks to God. So I'll leave it there.
Stuff that's going on over there, and really good that you've come to be with us today.